We continue our coverage from Revelation 2015, the Altec International Conference here in Lexington, Kentucky. We're talking now with Dr. Mark Lyons, who is the Global Vice President and Head of Greater China Efforts for Altec. He is the son of the founder of Altec. Dr. Lyons talking with us about what's going on right now in China, both from the company's perspective as well as the agricultural producers in that country and opportunities for selling our agricultural products into that nation as well. Mark, you are heavily involved in some of the international activities of the company. You've got a lot of the vision that's being executed overseas, including in the incredibly large nation of China. And a lot of people in the United States, a lot of our cattle producers, for example, kind of look at that as the holy grail, that if we can just finally get that market open, that it's going to mean a world of difference for our producers. Tell me your perspectives about China as far as a market, and then both for Altec, for your products, but also a market for our agricultural producers.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's the world's largest population. Meat, milk, and egg consumption will continue to go up. So it is a very exciting market, very dynamic. And I think everybody's looking at the growth or waiting for the growth. And certainly what we've seen in the last 3 years is, you know, sometimes things take a different path. And there's been a big push in terms of anti-corruption. People have probably heard about that. And that actually has really impacted you wouldn't think it, but meat consumption. So people are a little bit more worried about conspicuous consumption. They're worried about these big ostentatious banquets where people hardly ate anything and were just walking around exchanging business cards and getting to know each other. And a lot of that has shifted. And we also see, I think, some other areas in terms of domestic concern over food safety and these types of things, probably hampering some of the growth that we would expect. And so having said that, you see pockets that are very, very good. And certainly, you know, the beef industry, beef prices and beef in general remains to a very attractive business, a very attractive product. And the Chinese domestic industry is starting to establish. Many people would look at that and say, oh no, that means it's going to be closed off for us, or we're going to lose opportunity. No, that's not the case. China has to have some domestic production of any product before it really opens up and imports. So they don't want to be completely dependent on imports. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen that with dairy, we've seen that with pork. And so I think that's going to be a good thing, actually. And also an opportunity. So for Altec, we've been in China for 21 years, so we're pretty well established, have a very strong brand, good connection into all the major species and the feed mill side, and now even to the consumer selling our beer. And so we feel that the market is really going to be defined a little bit more for us in the next 5 years.
Is the market in China, in other words, the products that you're selling that appeal most to the Chinese producers, are they similar to what they are in other parts of the country, you know, the world, including the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, our biggest selling product there is Bioplexus minerals. So these are our organic minerals. I think that's globally, that's the second largest. Our second product is the first globally, which is Integral. And so we have you know, the whole suite of products really is available globally. Sometimes in China, it takes a little bit longer. Their regulatory system is extremely arduous. But everybody's interested in improving profitability, improving performance, and doing it in a natural and consumer-friendly way. So we're actually seeing, I think, the markets are becoming more similar, whereas maybe 10 years ago, everybody was looking for something different.
Mm-hmm. You alluded to the fact that you know, we're seeing some gradual growth as far as that consumer interest of maybe including meat more in their diet. You know, we've heard a great deal in all of these, you know, developing countries, the up and coming countries, whether it's Brazil, India, China, that we see, you know, a lot of talk about the emerging middle class. Is that going to be a reality?
Yeah, and it is certainly happening. I think what is different, though, is that in each country, the style of eating, even, I think, has a big impact. If anybody's been to China, you know, you're at a dinner round table, the Lazy Susan, and there's 20, 30 different dishes on the table. Some of them are just vegetables. Some have a little bit of meat in them. And I think that even that style, that kind of limits how much meat can actually be consumed. Because if you think about our situation and we order a steak, you know exactly how much meat is there. If a restaurant is a little bit hurting a little bit in terms of profitability, it's pretty easy to put a third as much or third less meat in a Chinese dish and nobody would notice. Mm-hmm. So I think that some of that is probably what's hampering the growth, not being as strong as we had expected. But having said that, on the consumer side, people are very hungry for new products, very hungry for imported products. So that side, I think this is more of a blip in the road. Long term, I feel very, very strong that China is going to be a great market, as are others. Vietnam is a phenomenal market, a market that has an extremely good relationship right now with the United States. I think that's going to be a growth potential. A lot of other countries in Southeast Asia also are places to be looking.
Clearly, you know, we're seeing in our country anyway a kind of almost a revolution when it comes to the desire to know more about their food. You know, consumers, I guess added transparency that's being talked about. There are a lot of buzzwords that we could use, but are we seeing that overseas as much as we're seeing with the U.S. consumer?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an issue everywhere, and it's something that people want. They want to know where their food comes from. And I think in the Chinese context, it's a much bigger issue. For European or American consumers, they're really looking at this in terms of, I want to feel good about what I eat. And I'm concerned maybe it might make me fat, or maybe there's something that isn't good in the food for me. But in a Chinese context, we're talking about real food safety issues. So we're talking about tampering, we're talking about illegal practices, and I suppose we could go back to the Horsegate scandal in Europe and say, okay, that was similar. But those weren't things that were going to significantly harm someone. And so that transparency and traceability and food safety concern, which is really being led by the consumers and the government, is very, very serious. So we're already starting to see, in certain cases, companies being levied fines that are extremely significant for unethical uses of antibiotics. So using too many in too high a volume. We've seen concerns around heavy metals in meats, different things like this that can really be obviously a major human health concern. So those are real concerns and real issues, and those things are that transparency is something that the Chinese industry is grappling with. How do we show this transparency when perhaps none of that was expected just a couple of years ago?
Right. GMOs. Is that, what's the kind of stream of thoughts or the conversation that you're hearing?
Yeah, so I think we continue to struggle with the GMO issue really in a very similar way than we did, when this all kind of cropped up in Europe, was that 20 years ago, 15 years ago? It doesn't seem that the argument has moved. Some people think it's unsafe and think that these things shouldn't be utilized. The industry producing GMO products seems to keep saying scientific data tells us that this is fine. Mm-hmm. That's not going to, that continued answer, I don't think it's going to get us very far, because this is more emotive. This is about how people feel about an issue. It's not about the facts.
Right.
So, Altec, our position is we produce natural products. It's also because the basis of our entire company is fermentation. This is how we do things. Mm-hmm. But we don't really have a stance on GMO. What I see in China, I think GMO is completely, it is something that's a concern for consumers. I think the government, to a certain degree, can therefore utilize that as a trade barrier, possibly, but maybe not. I think they also definitely are listening to what consumers are saying. But when you think of something a gentleman in Spain told me a few years ago, that in Europe, of packaged foods, 93% of them contain some GMO material. And so there's a disconnect between the perception and the reality on the issue. And I think we have to continue to listen to consumers And in, you know, in the Chinese context, I think it's quite interesting because in one way, we don't want to bring in DDGS because it's coming from GMO corn. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we just heard the story about the genetic manipulation of a human embryo in Guangzhou a couple of weeks ago. So, wow, those are two pretty pretty big gap between those two things.
When you go kind of big picture and look out, try to cast a vision for your company and you know, with your dad and look down the road and you see, you know, all the talk about feeding the 9 billion. How does Alltech fit into that, and how do you help agriculture achieve what has to be done to feed these folks?
So I think that it comes down to the continued work that we've been doing since the beginning in education. That's the first pillar, we like to say, of Alltech, is marketing through education, but a lot of different educational initiatives. We now have an education department, actually headed up by my sister, Dr. Yefalines. We have a new project I was mentioning a little bit ago, a dairy farming institute in China, which is in conjunction with Nestle, where we are training dairy farmers from China and beyond about the best practices in dairy farming. So I think education is a crucial piece, and we continue to work with our research alliances. We now have 19 of those. And so that's helping us to come up with new innovations. I think the next piece really is, how do we make these things relevant? How do we make sure that we're connected enough to what's happening at that farm level to improve efficiency? And you can see a lot of moves by Alltech to get closer and closer to the farm, whether it be our own programs, collaboration with others, or also some of the acquisitions that Alltech has gone through. A lot of that is making sure that the implementation truly takes place and that our technology and our ideas are really brought and fully, I suppose, the impact of them being fully realized. I think the third piece is, we always talk about 9 billion people, but you know, it's not de facto that those people are going to be eating the same way that we are. And I think that making food affordable, but also continuing to improve the welfare and livelihood of people around the world, is critical. It's not just somebody getting born that they're going to eat a certain number of calories in their lifetime or a certain quality of food. So we have to make sure that we continue to grow the global economy. And I think that that's probably the piece that I'm most concerned about, and one that Alltech can play the smallest role in, mm-hmm. Is the fact that, you know, we do business in 129 countries. Certainly, geopolitical issues today are impacting everybody's business, and you have to respond to that, and you have to come up with creative ways. But you know, it'd be great to a safer world, a more peaceful world, is a better world for the agricultural industry.
So the ability to pay, obviously, is a concern among some groups of consumers.
Absolutely, and today, you know, for at least over half the world's population, the ability to pay is the issue. So we can definitely see that in the U.S. today as well. Big concerns about, you know, we've got these great supermarkets or wonderful foods that everybody is thinking, oh, this is what we should be buying, but the price is too high for many people. And that, in at the same time, when the U.S. Average consumer is spending less than 10% of their income on food, 8.8%, I believe, is the number. That is a number that is far lower than anywhere else in the world. So in one regard, we've been very efficient. But when you look at some of the perhaps the poorest parts of our society, food is still a major issue, and they are buying based on price. And that sometimes means that the nutritional value isn't there, and that's creating a lot of issues. So we have to continue to see, you know, how do we produce the right foods at the right price? Okay.